really, really is to highlight the human cost, particularly for children, of these protracted emergencies and crises and conflicts in the Middle East and North Africa. We focus so much in the news cycles on the political and military developments, but I think we start to forget what the true cost for the children of the region has been and is today. And so this staggering figure of 13 million children that are out of school, that may have no prospect in many cases of going back to school, no prospect of actually educational achievement, and ultimately contributing what they could potentially to the rebuilding eventually of their own societies. And really we're trying to highlight this point.
Mr. Salema, what are the most affected countries by this situation?
The most affected countries are Syria, of course, and the surrounding countries which are hosting Syrian refugees, so Turkey, Lebanon, and Jordan, but also the state of Palestine, and you remember the intensification of the conflict in Gaza last year, as well as some countries which we tend not to focus so much on, Yemen, for example, the Sudan, and of course Libya.
What for this situation right now in the region?
So there's a very direct effect on educational achievement for those 13 million plus children, who many of whom won't go back to school or won't achieve their potential, won't become the professionals or the technicians that they could have been. And then there's the more indirect effects. We know, for example, that children out of school are much more likely to be working in exploitative labor. We know that girls out of school in particular are much more likely to be married off early. We also know that if children are not in school, they're more vulnerable to be recruited into the military and paramilitary forces that are so common now and scale up their work all over the region. And finally, we also know that the majority now of refugees and asylum seekers flooding the shores of Europe are actually coming from Syria, more than 70% in recent months, in fact. And so the war in Syria, the war and crises in the rest of the region are now directly reaching the shores of Europe.
Talk to us about the suggested solutions and measures that are recommended in this report to try to overcome this situation.
So we all need to accelerate our efforts, Reem, to get these 13 million children back into some form of schooling, whether it's informal or formal. We also need to make sure that once they're in some sort of schooling, there is a formal pathway established to make sure they can sit their exams, that their education can be acknowledged, accredited, and certified. Thirdly, we need to really call on all parties to the conflict to stop targeting schools and to do more than that, to actually proactively protect schools, students, and teachers. For example, in the region now, 9,000 schools have been taken out of commission for education, partly because they've been destroyed, irreparably damaged, or they're being occupied, or they're being used as detention centers or collective shelters for internally displaced people. That has to stop. And finally, of course, we need resources. We all need resources to scale up this work. And we're calling for $300 million of additional resources before the end of 2015 to be able to do this work.
UNICEF has launched 2 years ago an initiative to save a whole generation. What kind of support did you get for this? And usually, what kind of support donors give to education services?
Well, it's certainly true that historically, in humanitarian situations such as these, education hasn't been a major priority. We estimate that historically, only around 2% of all humanitarian funding has gone to education. Now, something very interesting happened in 2013 when UNICEF launched this No Lost Generation initiative that you referred to. For the first time, donors began to understand that education and protection did need to be prioritized. The problem has been that the escalation of the conflict has meant that the order of magnitude of the problem has outstripped even the generous donations of the donors. So it's for education, it's currently funded to the tune of around 40% for 2015, but that means there's still a very big funding gap, as I mentioned, for those conflict-affected countries, around $300 million additionally is required.